This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, August 3rd, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Wall Street awaits the July payroll report with forecasts calling for strong gains.
The White House warns of more pain ahead for China on trade.
The pound weakens as Mark Carney jumps back into the Brexit debate.
And Italian bonds slump for the third day with 10-year yields breaking above 3%.
Prosecutors say Paul Manafort submitted phony bank statements to secure bank loans and was in debt. I'm Michael Barr. More on President Trump's former campaign chairman straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, both the Yankees and Mets are doubled up, and the NFL is officially back.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good Friday morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector's Fighter ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And global stocks are mixed as we head into the final trading day of the week. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The S&P futures are down about 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 21. NASDAQ futures little change, down less than a point. DAX in Germany up four tenths of a percent. The CAC in Paris up 0.2%. FTSE 100 up 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan, little change, gain less than 0.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.97%. The yield on the 2-year 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 29 cents to $68.68 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4%, down $4.70 to $12.1540 an ounce. And the euro's $1.1578, the yen 111.74. Nathan.
Karen, today's focus on the labor market with the monthly U.S. unemployment report due out this morning. Bloomberg Economics Chief U.S. Economist Carl Riccadonna projects a gain of 220,000 jobs in July.
The economy is indeed picking up momentum, and that's happening in a low labor cost environment. So if you have a lack of wage pressures and the economy is growing faster, that should augur for a stronger payroll gain. And so we're looking for something north of 200,000. I think we're going to see a strong result. Still very gradual labor cost increases, but nonetheless, that payroll gain will get folks' attention.
Carl Riccadonna says analysts will also look at today's jobs report for potential early warning signs of headwinds related to trade war concerns.
Meanwhile, the Trump administration continues its tough talk on trade with China. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross has further ratcheted up the trade rhetoric, saying the U.S. will keep up the pressure on China for as long as the country refuses to level the economic playing field. Ross told Fox News the Trump administration wants to force China to drop their, quote, bad practices and reform.
We have to create a situation where it's more painful for them to continue their bad practices than it is to reform them. That's the purpose of the whole exercise.
It comes after the U.S. said it was considering increasing proposed tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods from 10% to 25%. China has warned the U.S. against what it calls blackmail, saying it will hit back against any escalation from Washington. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thanks. It was yet another down day for China's stock market and its currency. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from our Singapore bureau. Juliet.
Nathan and Karen, sellers continued to encroach on Chinese markets while the yuan headed for an eighth weekly decline, the longest run since the start of the country's modern foreign exchange rate regime began in 1994, as we continued to see these trade woes intensify. The yuan has depreciated 6.7% over the past 2 months against the dollar and is near the lowest on record against a trade-weighted basket of currencies. Meanwhile, China's equity market, one of the worst performing globally this year, lost its place as the world's second biggest to Japan. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. In Turkey, inflation quickened less than expected last month. Consumer inflation rose to 15.9%, less than a median estimate of 16.3%. That appears to have stemmed the Turkish lira's slide, though it's still trading above a five handle.
In Italy, bonds are slumping for the third day, with 10-year yields breaking above 3% for the first time in nearly 2 months. The move follows a report that the country's populist leaders and finance minister meet this morning to discuss the budget.
The pound weakened below $1.30 today after Bank of England Governor Mark Carney jumped back into the Brexit debate. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. In a BBC radio interview today, Carney said the possibility of Britain leaving the European Union without a deal is uncomfortably high at the moment. He also said the parties should do all things to avoid it. In a separate interview with Bloomberg, the BOE governor said stress tests show the financial system should be ready for the worst case.
It's our responsibility to anticipate a very bad version of that cliff-edge, disorderly Brexit.
Carney's Brexit comments suggest he's growing increasingly worried the government is running out of time to hammer out an agreement. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thanks. Meanwhile, the UK's services sector grew at a slower pace than forecast in July. IHS Markit's Purchasing Managers Index slid to a three-month low of 53.5 last month. The survey suggests expansion in the UK may be hitting a soft patch.
Turning to earnings now, Royal Bank of Scotland reported second quarter income that beat analyst estimates. It also announced plans to resume dividends. Still, Chief Financial Officer Ewan Stevenson said RBS is putting any plans for share buybacks on hold due to uncertainty around Brexit.
We are being cautious at the moment. You'll see today in our results, our liquidity ratios are very strong. I think we'll continue to keep our capital ratios strong, and we are cautious on the outlook for credit in some sectors.
Shares of RBS are up more than 3% this morning.
Kraft Heinz is among nine companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A dip in net sales and a narrowing operating margin likely offset the benefits of a lower effective tax rate, and Bloomberg Intelligence says per-share earnings at Kraft Heinz may have declined about 5%. The company also had to deal with higher freight and distribution costs, and it boosted spending in support of marketing initiatives and new products. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Shares of Sonos are gaining this morning. The wireless speaker maker's stock climbed 32% after its IPO yesterday. It's up another 7.9% in early trading. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out more what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump is renewing his many attacks on the press, calling them the fake, disgusting news. Trump told a rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania last night that the media refuses to give him credit for a long list of accomplishments.
In Helsinki, I had a great meeting with Putin. We discussed everything. I had a great meeting. We got along really well. By the way, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. That's a really good thing. Now, we're being hindered by the Russian hoax. It's a hoax, okay?
Top administration officials say Russia interfered in the 2016 election, and they're trying to do it again. National Intelligence Director Dan Coats.
We acknowledge the threat. It is real. It is continuing. And we're doing everything we can to have a legitimate election that the American people can have trust in.
The tax and bank fraud trial of President Trump's former campaign chairman heads into its fourth day today. Yesterday, prosecutors presented their case that Paul Manafort was deeply in debt and submitted altered financial statements to secure bank loans. Manafort's bookkeeper testified that Manafort and his longtime deputy Rick Gates gave phony profit and loss statements to banks in 2016 that overstated their firm's income. Tennessee voters decided that former state Democratic Governor Phil Bredesen and Republican Representative Marsha Blackburn will advance to the fall election for the U.S. Senate seat. UK Prime Minister Theresa May will meet with French President Emmanuel Macron today as she charts a path to a Brexit deal. Bloomberg's Caroline Conan reports from Paris.
The pair will meet at the Fort de Brégançon, the summer residence of French presidents on the French Riviera, between Marseille and Nice. A relaxing atmosphere to discuss tough subjects. Theresa May will ask Emmanuel Macron to support her blueprint for Brexit, including a new trade deal already rejected by the EU last week. But expectations shouldn't be too high, as Michel Barnier remains the main negotiator on behalf of the EU Commission. In Paris, Caroline Conan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:09 is the time now on Wall Street. Let's get a Bloomberg NBC Sports update with Rob Bushka.
Morning, Nathan. Let's hope the rest of the weekend in Boston doesn't turn out like Thursday, as Steve Pierce single-handedly nearly did in the Yankees as Boston routed New York 15-7 thanks to three home runs by the newly acquired infielder. Yankees' Brett Gardner says this game can't define the four-game set.
Well, I mean, something like this is a little tough to just forget about. But, you know, like I said, one loss is one loss. It doesn't matter if it's 5-4 or 2-1 or 20-3. So, I mean, you know, it's a tough game, and it's a tough game to be a part of. But, you know, we just got to that's the beautiful thing about baseball. We don't have to wait a week to redeem ourselves. We get to come out here tomorrow afternoon and get back after it. So we'll plan on doing that.
Yankees fall 6.5 back of the Red Sox. Series continues tonight from Fenway. It's Luis Severino taking on Rick Porcello. The Mets were doubled up 4-2 by the Braves at Citi Field. It's the fourth straight win for Atlanta. Jason Vargas took the loss, dropping the starter to 2-7 with an ERA over 8. Mets fall to last place with the Marlins and try to right the ship tonight, sending Jacob DeGrom up against Anibal Sanchez. News from NFL camps. According to sources, Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. says he and the team have talked about a new contract, and football's officially back as the Hall of Fame game kicked off another season with the Ravens edging the Bears 17-16 in Canton, Ohio. Ravens QB and Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson threw for a touchdown, rushed for 25 yards, while RG3, who also won a Heisman, tossed another touchdown for the Ravens as well. Golf, round one, Bridgestone Invitational. Tiger shoots a 66. He's still four strokes back of leader Ian Poulter. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, thank you, Rob. And I want to remind you to join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. His Washington Capitals just won the Stanley Cup, and he also owns the NBA's Washington Wizards. Monumental sports founder Ted Leonsis joins us on the program tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or download the Apple Podcast on iTunes. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate, up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we are watching for the July jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. We'll also get a look at the trade balance. And then at 10, it's a report on the service industry. Futures are little changed ahead of the jobs report. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with S&P futures down about 2 points. Dow futures down 20. NASDAQ futures down 1. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.97%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 14 cents to $68.82 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% on $4.40 to $12.1570 an ounce. The euro, $1.1582, and the yen, 111.70. Dish Network and Kraft Heinz are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Trump told a rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania last night that the media refuses to give him credit for a long list of accomplishments, including his summits with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and Russia's Vladimir Putin. Trump says he told his wife about how he just stopped missiles from being launched every 2 seconds or accomplished other things, and thinks the media is finally going to treat me so good, but doesn't. The director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, says Russia is a keyboard click away from a major election hack. Coates says, though, Russian efforts to interfere in the midterm elections have yet to reach the intensity of 2016. In sports and baseball, the Yankees were spanked by the Red Sox 15-7. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It is now 5:19 on Wall Street, a little more than 3 hours away from that July jobs report. Let's bring in Kevin Cummins. He's an economist at NatWest Markets Securities. Kevin, thanks as always for being here. I guess we've been averaging 215,000 new jobs a month this year. You expect that to be sustained at the report coming out in a few hours?
I do. Thanks for having me, Nathan. I do think the trend in job growth, obviously, as you mentioned, has been very strong, and we suspect that pace continued. or a pace close to that continued in July. Our own forecast at NatWest is 185,000, which would be a step below the number you referenced, but certainly strong enough by any reasonable measure of job growth. The economy probably only needs about 100,000 jobs just to keep the unemployment rate steady. So this is certainly above that. So that would likely put continued downward pressure on the unemployment rate.
So are you thinking that we may be close to full unemployment at this point, or is this just a sign of things just sort of holding steady?
Yeah, I do believe. I mean, we're through the Fed's estimate of full employment of around 4.5% already. So the labor market is pretty tight right now. So any remaining slack is probably pretty marginal. We suspect that wage growth would pick up over time, and it has, but it just hasn't picked up as much as it has in the past when the unemployment rate has been this low.
Yeah, I mean, that really has been the factor that's been flummoxing a lot of people. We haven't seen that wage pressure pick up the way we'd expect. What's your read on that?
Yeah, well, wages and very much reflect the weakness that we've seen in productivity growth. Since the recovery has began, productivity growth has averaged less than 1% at an annualized rate. So it's not too surprising that wages hasn't really picked up here. I think at this stage of the cycle, the Fed would probably welcome some moderation in the trend in employment growth, assuming that we're getting the sort of continued strong GDP growth that we've got, as witnessed last Friday in the Q2 GDP report. Because if we do see some moderation in payroll growth with that sort of backdrop of strong GDP growth, that would imply an acceleration in productivity growth. And that's certainly a welcome development because wages would be able to rise without the risk that inflation is going to pick up all that meaningfully.
If we don't see, or if we continue not to see that wage pressure that we expect, what's that going to mean for the Fed as it heads toward that September rate setting meeting and has to decide whether to put some more slack into the monetary policy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Fed will continue to hike at a moderate once per quarter pace. So I think it's pretty much baked in the cake that the Fed's going to raise rates another 25 basis points in September, barring any sort of major shock to the economy between now and then. But I think, you know, the Fed, assuming that inflation doesn't really meaningfully overshoot, I think the Fed is comfortable with the idea of inflation moving slightly above 2%. But I think they're still in the mindset that they can continue to hike at a once per quarter pace here until they reach neutral. But if our forecast at NatWest is correct and it is consistent with the idea that inflation doesn't meaningfully or significantly overshoot the 2%, which we don't see being the case, then the Fed won't have to necessarily take rates into restrictive territory. So in other words, they don't need to go above 3%. Their own forecast of neutral is 2.75% to 3%. And once they get there, they can, you know, take their cues and see how the economy and how the data evolve without feeling that they're falling behind the curve.
We've seen concern about trade tensions playing out through the markets. Are you reading anything on that into the job market at this point?
Well, there hasn't been all that much evidence that it's actually affecting activity significantly just yet. You know, the threat of tariffs must obviously be closely monitored. I think it's more likely to come in through inflation than it is necessarily on the growth side. I mean, the macroeconomic impact on the broader economy, the direct effect is, as of right now, with what there's obviously a lot of uncertainty of how much of the tariffs are going to go into effect that they've talked about. But the macroeconomic direct effect is probably pretty minimal. The more worrisome development is the indirect effects, and if financial markets and there's a tightening in financial conditions, and that spills over to the broader economy.
All right, we'll keep an eye on it. Kevin Cummins, economist for NatWest Market Securities. Again, that jobs report, 8:30 Wall Street time, full coverage on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's. Since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager, and we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower ahead of the July jobs report. Economists forecast the economy added 193,000 jobs in July. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The economy has added more than 1 million jobs since the start of the year. The unemployment rate dipped as low as 3.8% back in May. With today's report, wage growth will be the key for bond traders keeping score on inflation. It's yet to reach the high seen earlier in the century. Treasury market reaction to the data of late tended to be fleeting. In May, average hourly earnings rose just 0.2% from a month earlier, 2.7% year over year. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. The report comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We will break it down live with Jim Glassman at JPMorgan Chase and MKM Holdings chief economist Michael Darda.
The pound is weakening after a BBC interview with Bank of England Governor Mark Carney. He says the chance of the UK leaving the European Union without a deal is uncomfortably high.
China's currency is heading for an eighth weekly decline. That is the longest run since the start of the country's modern foreign exchange rate regime in 1994.
Meanwhile, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross signaled there's more pain ahead unless China changes its economic system. He spoke with Fox News.
The president now feels that it's potentially time to put more pressure on.
Meanwhile, China is saying once again that it will never surrender to U.S. trade threats.
Berkshire Hathaway and Kraft Heinz lead nine companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today. So far, about 85% of S&P members have beat analyst estimates.
Royal Bank of Scotland shares are up more than 2%. The lender has laid out a plan to resume paying dividends a decade after its government bailout.
Toyota Motor reported first quarter profit that topped estimates. The Japanese carmaker was helped by expense reductions and rising sales in Asia.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, little change this morning, down a point. Dow futures down 9. NASDAQ futures up 2. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.3%. The FTSE 100 up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.98%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 5 cents at $69.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $4.20 at $12.15.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.15.80, and the yen, 111.72. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 is the time on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more of what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Trump spoke to a packed rally in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania last night, campaigning for Republican candidates and discussing new health plans. Trump told supporters that he is slowly getting rid of the Affordable Care Act with better options.
The association health plans are giving us and allowing Americans to join forces to buy much better health care for a fraction of the cost, and you can go cross state lines and negotiate with everybody you want to negotiate with.
Trump also called the press the fake, disgusting news. Meanwhile, the White House continues to defend President Trump's labeling of the news media as the enemy of the people. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro reports.
When challenged by reporters to criticize the president's words, White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders grew defiant, saying the media is to blame for making her unpopular.
As far as I know, I'm the first press secretary in the history of the United States that's required Secret Service protection. The media continues to ratchet up the verbal assault against the president.
Experts appointed by the UN Human Rights Council and the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights are condemning what they describe as strategic attacks on the press by the president. In Washington, Martin DeCasio, Bloomberg Radio.
Prosecutors in the bank and tax fraud trial of Paul Manafort say the former Trump campaign chairman submitted doctored statements to banks in order to get loans. Today, on day four of the trial, more testimony is expected from one of Manafort's former tax accountants. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says North Korea is far from living up to its pledge to denuclearize and remains in violation of numerous UN Security Council resolutions. Speaking today before he attends an Asian security forum with North Korea's foreign minister, Pompeo told reporters in Singapore there was still a ways to go before achieving the goal of ridding the North of its nuclear weapons. British Prime Minister Theresa May meets with French President Emmanuel Macron as part of a diplomatic drive to win European leaders over to her Brexit vision. With just 11 weeks left until a divorce accord is meant to be signed, May needs to chart a path to a deal. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Nathan. It was an unfamiliar hero for the Red Sox Thursday night as they crushed the Yankees 15-7 to open the four-game set at Fenway Park. Steve Pearce homered three times. Yankees actually led this game 4-1. Enter reliever Jonathan Holder, who allowed seven runs without recording an out, becoming just the second Yankee in history to accomplish that dubious feat. Skipper Aaron Boone.
Struggled, obviously, in that fourth inning. Holder, who's usually doesn't walk guys, loses the leadoff guy, and then it just got away from us there. And, unfortunately, we just couldn't stop the bleeding there in that fourth inning.
Yankees slip to 6.5 back of Boston and will turn to Luis Severino tonight as Boston counters with Rick Porcello. Yankees still lead the wild card, though, by 6 games. The Braves won their fourth in a row at the Mets' expense, 4-2 at Citi Field. Jason Vargas dropped to 2-7 for New York with an ERA north of 8. They'll look at Jacob deGrom tonight against Atlanta's Anibal Sanchez as its four-game series continues. Mets currently in last place with the Marlins 15 back of the front-running Phillies. NFL news, sources say Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. and the team are working on a long-term contract. The annual Hall of Fame game ushered in the start of football in America on Thursday as Baltimore beat Chicago 17-16 behind a pair of touchdowns from a pair of Heisman Trophy winners. RG3 and Lamar Jackson each had a touchdown and an interception for the Ravens. In golf, Tiger shoots an opening round 66 at Bridgestone Invitational, yet 4 strokes back of Ian Poulter, who carded a 62 at the par 70. In Akron. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Rob, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street now. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week has arrived on newsstands. The cover is on hotel rewards and why they're a major sticking point in the biggest hospitality merger in history. Pat Clark wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Some people are going to be happy. Some people are going to be less happy. Some people are going to complain because people like to complain. And that has certainly been a challenge and something that Marriott's taken some time to figure out.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Happy Friday, Ed.
Happy Friday, Nathan. New York subway ridership has dropped for the second year in a row. Passengers are choosing Uber and other ride-hailing services, draining the transit system of much-needed revenue. Annual subway ridership fell in 2017 to about 1.7 billion trips, down about 2% from 2015, according to the MTA. New Jersey officials have announced several lawsuits targeting former industrial sites where towns are grappling with the effects of pollution that's gotten into the soil, the groundwater, and nearby waterways. Officials tell the New York Times it's part of a push by Governor Philip Murphy for stricter enforcement. New Haven is joining Connecticut cities trying to get a little breathing room from their debt. The city plans to sell $160 million in bonds to pay off debt that matures over the next few years, allowing it to push out its bills until the new securities start coming due in 9 years. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Toyota is preparing for challenges in the U.S. market that could be hit by a trade war.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that senior managers at Tribune Media could lose out on a big payday if the company's troubled merger with Sinclair Broadcast collapses.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a warning from Bank of England Governor Mark Carney that the risks of a no-deal Brexit are uncomfortably high.
I'm Steve Podosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm reporting on changes in the works on how movies are distributed.
I'm Ed Corey on WOAI in San Antonio. I'm reporting big oil companies are happy as President Trump moves to ease auto emission standards.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. 5:40 on Wall Street. China has lost its ranking as the world's number two stock market after a Thursday slump. Chinese equities were worth $6.09 trillion, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. That compares with $6.17 trillion in Japan. The U.S. has the world's largest stock market at just over $31 trillion. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Good morning. Coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street, tune into our new weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen in tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9.
The Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Today we are watching for the July jobs report. It's out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the trade balance. Then at 10, we get a report on the service industry. Futures, meanwhile, little changed ahead of the jobs report. The stocks in Europe are moving higher. Italian bonds are slumping as core European debt gained with treasuries. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P and Dow futures, again, little change. NASDAQ futures up 5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.97%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.25% or 16 cents to $69.12 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.33% on $4.30 to $12.15.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1579, and the yen, 111.70. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Paul Manafort's bookkeeper testified that the former Trump campaign chairman approved every penny of the personal bills she paid for him, but he kept her in the dark about the foreign bank accounts he was using to buy millions in luxury items and pay personal expenses. Day 4 of Manafort's bank and tax fraud trial is today. A U.S. government scientist who has seen the contents of 55 boxes of remains turned over by North Korea says the remains are consistent with being Americans. He says the bones appear to have been preserved from the Korean War era, and military equipment provided are consistent with that used by U.S. forces. In sports and baseball, the Yankees were spanked by the Red Sox 15-7. The Mets lost, along with Baltimore. The Nationals and Giants won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. The pound is weakening this morning after Bank of England Governor Mark Carney said the possibility of Britain leaving the European Union without a deal is, in his words, uncomfortably high. Carney is also defending yesterday's decision by the BOE to raise interest rates amid that uncertainty. Here's what he had to say in an interview with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix.
This is the right decision for the economy, given the track that it's on. There's a wide range of Brexit outcomes that are possible. We all hope that by the end of the year, we'll all be much better informed on which path the UK and the EU are taking. In a variety of those potential outcomes, they would be consistent with rates at their current level, if not higher. Certainly there could be circumstances where it would make sense to adjust policy, but I think we'll all know what those circumstances are, and the MPC at that point will take them into account and take the decision.
Why could you not say that actually a disorderly Brexit would automatically mean rate cut?
Because it doesn't automatically follow. I mean, certainly a set of circumstances like what happened post-referendum, where the balance of what happened to the future supply of the economy, demand, which was more of a business hit than a consumer hit, if you recall at the time, and the exchange rate, the combination of those things made sense for us to extend the horizon over which we brought inflation back to target, support the economy, fast forward two years to today. I would say this, wouldn't I? But it does look like the right call. We've got inflation coming back to target. We've got record employment growth. We've got real wages starting to grow. We're in a better position. But there are circumstances where the balance of those three factors would be too inflationary for the tolerances of the MPC. In the end, we can stretch the horizon. We can support jobs and activity, but up to a limit. And we have to make those judgments at that time.
If there is a hard Brexit or a crashing out or an ugly Brexit, what would happen to the markets?
Well, the markets will determine. It depends how much the markets have pulled forward that situation, how much they've anticipated. I mean, as with any market event, what I will tell you, what go directly to our responsibilities more broadly within the bank, is it's our responsibility to anticipate a very bad version of that cliff edge disorderly Brexit, what could happen to the markets, how that would affect UK financial institutions that we supervise and regulate and make sure they have enough capital, enough liquidity, they're on top of the risk management, they prepared for it. We have done that. We did that with a brutal stress test last year, and they are capitalized for that. And I'm going to be here when it happens, so I'm not, if it happens, I should say. Jeez. As a consequence of that, we have the confidence there.
That's Bank of England Governor Mark Carney speaking with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. Meanwhile, in a separate interview with the BBC today, Carney said the possibility of a no-deal Brexit is uncomfortably high at the moment. Those comments set the pound below $1.30. Right now, Karen, the British pound is at $1.3004.
All right, thank you, Nathan. It is 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time now for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Four U.S. cities are suing the Trump administration to stop executive actions they say are slowly killing Obamacare. Columbus, Ohio, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Chicago say the administration is doing everything in its power to do away with the Affordable Care Act. The federal board advising a compensation program for the nation's sickened nuclear workers has been waiting since February, but finally has 12 new members and can begin work again. And Medicare's payments for acute care hospitals will increase by 1.85%. in fiscal year 2019.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at recent tweets from President Trump demanding Attorney General Jeff Sessions put an end to the Mueller probe. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders and Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani are defending the comments. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grosso and Peter Burns speak with Kevin Whitelaw, Deputy Managing Editor for Bloomberg News.
Kevin, how is that playing, Sarah Sanders' explanation and Rudy Giuliani's explanation of why President Trump's tweet was not an order?
Well, I do think that we've seen the president at various points, at various times, rail against his own attorney general, rail against the probe, rail against Robert Mueller. And so on some level, you can just sort of see this as part of the continuum. But this one did strike a lot of people as a little different. It started to sound a little closer to an order. So, everyone's always looking for sort of where the temperature is and has something shifted in the air when it comes to what Trump might actually do with regard to the probe. Up to now, his lawyers have been able to largely keep him on track and keep him cooperating. But, you know, the frustration level has clearly been building over time. And he's got a lot of people both inside the White House but also outside the White House sort of egging him on and wanting him to pick a fight.
And this isn't like your neighbor expressing an opinion.
It is
even
the president
if he was expressing
it.
Yeah, he's president of the United States.
And, that's right. But, you know, he also does know how to issue orders. And the fact that he tweeted it is a little different than an actual order. So, you know, whether he's actually testing the waters or blowing off steam or preparing to do something, you know, I think we've all been trying to figure that out. But we've sort of been on watch for this for quite a long time, and at least it hasn't happened yet. I do know he's gotten very, very strong warnings for the past year from a lot of Senate Republicans. They don't want him to act against Mueller. They don't want him to act against Rosenstein. And they really don't want it to happen before the midterm. All of those things are still true, and he's still getting that message, but he's clearly frustrated by the pace of this. It is important, though, to understand, even amid all of this noise and all of these attacks and all of the vitriol and all of the accusations, his lawyers and Mueller's team have still been talking and negotiating and exchanging proposals over what it might look like for the president to sit down and do an interview with Robert Mueller. So there was just as recently as earlier this week, we know that Mueller's people came back with their latest proposal, answering an earlier one from Trump. So even though they're not close, even though it's not clear they'll ever get to a deal, they're actually still talking to.
And that's Bloomberg News Deputy Managing Editor Kevin Whitelaw speaking with June Grosso and Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
Karen, it's 5:56 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF report. Bloomberg's Julie Hyman has more on the latest shot fired in the war over fees.
Fidelity got a lot of headlines this week by introducing the first no-fee index funds. Eric Balchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence is here. But Eric, as you wrote this week for Bloomberg Intelligence, there actually are some ETFs out there that are no-fee in a fashion.
Right. So there's no 0.0% expense ratio ETF. However, a lot of ETFs will lend out some of the securities to company asset managers that want to short them. They get a little tiny fee for that. We call that securities lending revenue. And they share that. They put most of it back into the NAV of the fund. As such, they have what we call perfect tracking. So they track the index perfectly. So tracking difference in ETF analyst world is the true cost. But nobody really looks at it this way. So I think what you might see is ETFs start to not share the securities lending revenue, keep it themselves, but offer 0.0% ETFs.
Thank you, Eric. With the Bloomberg ETF Report, I'm Julie Hyman.
All right, Julie, thank you. And futures are little changed on this jobs day. The 10-year Treasury is up 2/32, the yield 2.97%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.65%. NYMEX crude oil, little change this morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.